Thanks for listening today to the Bridge Podcast. Now prepare your hearts for a powerful word from God.
Father God, we exalt you today. We thank you for being a God who's all wise. We thank you for being a God of all knowledge. And we pray, God, as we continue to worship you today, as we sit at your feet, we pray that you would speak into our lives. We pray that you would challenge our hearts. We pray, God, most importantly, that we would leave today not only challenged and convicted, but most importantly, changed, God. Because at the end of the day, God, there's no transformation, God, unless there's application, God. And so may we never be confused or confuse an experience for true transformation, God. And we pray as we are in the midpoint, Father, as we look at this area of wisdom, Father, we pray truly that we would make wise decisions, God. Father, we pray that we will make emotional decisions. Father, we pray that we won't just make decisions that seem right in the moment. But Father God, we pray, Lord, as we dive into Proverbs, may we digest what you're teaching us, God. And Father, we pray, Lord, that it would be lived out in our lives. And we pray that our lives will be better, that we would serve you better, that we would worship you, God, with more honor, more fervor there, God, because of what you've done for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Can we give God some praise? If this is your first time here, welcome to The Bridge. We are in a series called Decision Now, and we are talking about wisdom. We've been reading through the book of Proverbs, and we've been asking ourselves this question. What does it mean for you and I to vote for wisdom? What does it mean to make wise decisions in our lives? And I'm sure most of us saw the presidential debates this week. And I'm not sure whether you're a Republican or whether you're a Democrat or whether you're independent. There's one thing that we all know is true, that in our everyday life, there's a debate within us between wisdom and folly. Wisdom calls for us to do one thing, and foolishness calls for us to do another. And sometimes the wisest decisions are not the decisions that we want to make. And so within us, there's this tug of war of, am I going to make a decision because it's wise, or do I make a decision even though it's foolish, but this is the decision I feel like making at this point in time. And so the big idea for this entire series is to vote for wisdom. Someone say vote for wisdom. And that basically means that we must make the wisest decisions in our life. As a matter of fact, that's one of the values for downtown. In downtown, we teach our children that I must make the wisest decision. And it's something that we don't outgrow. We never outgrow wisdom. We never graduate from wisdom. But the Bible says that those who are wise actually add to their wisdom. And so just want to see, just by a show of hands, how many people would honestly say, an honor system, that you are caught up with all of your readings from Proverbs? Who would say that you're there, all right? Let me see. All right. Can you stand up if you're caught up with it? Seriously, stand up. Just stand up. Just want to see where you are. Don't mean to put you on blast, all right? Okay, for those of you that are standing, we can't do it for everybody, but we have some free giveaways that we want to give to you. And young man, if you stand up, we have this wonderful T-shirt, this Vote for Wisdom T-shirt that we made for volunteers. And so now you get the opportunity to wear the Vote for Wisdom T-shirt. So Pastor Rob has those T-shirts. So for those of you that want to bribe him for them, you can do so right now. All right. All right, give yourselves a hand. Oh, yeah. Okay. So today, as we discuss wisdom, we're going to talk about friendships today. And I'm sure most of us, or all of us, have individuals in our lives who we consider to be friends. I'm sure as we look back throughout our lives, that there are decisions, or there's times that we... Now, as we look back our life, there are those things that we've done that we're ashamed of, right? And then there's those things that we look back in our past that we are proud of. And one of the things that I'm proud of, and I'm not saying this to brag, I'm making a point here, but one of the things that I'm proud of is that as I was growing up, elementary school, junior high, and high school, I was one of those kids that just didn't get in a lot of trouble. You know that there was some kids that were always in and out of the principal's office, that were always at war with their teachers, that were always getting in fights. You know, I was just one of those guys that just had good values, never got in any fights. As a matter of fact, I can only think of two times from elementary to high school in which I ever went in the principal's office because of, you know, something that happened in class or I did something stupid. But for the most part, I was an A student, and I was just a good kid. And there are two reasons for that. The first one is my parental upbringing. And our parents just taught us that when you go to school, you have to be focused. You don't get in fights. You don't get in trouble. So that was one thing. Another major contributor, I believe, had to do with the type of friends that I chose. I think one of the greatest things you can do as a parent is to teach your child how to choose friends. Because the people that we tend to be around tend to influence us the most. And so here is something that I recognize or that I've sort of observed, whether it be from something that I learned from my parents or maybe some stuff I picked up at church or through observation. But there are two things that I realized even as I was a little kid. The first one is that troublemakers tend to hang around and influence each other. Very rarely did someone cut class alone. Whenever there was a person that cut class, it was a group of three or four of them. Whenever there was someone that was smoking weed or that was getting in trouble, it was usually a crew, it was usually a posse, it was usually a set of people. You know, whenever, you know, there was a young lady or a young man that would disrespect their teachers, when you would look at the people they hung around, they all did the same thing. And so one of the things I realized that troublemakers tend to hang around each other. The second thing is I realized that people that got in with the in crowd, you remember the in crowd, right? The people that got in with the in crowd did what the in crowd did and got what the in crowd got, right? That the person who was an A student and who was a nice person and would respect their teachers and you know, who would show up for class on time, that once they got into the in crowd, they started doing what the in crowd did, and eventually they ended up experiencing the same fate, right? And so their grades would drop. Their values would drop, and because the people who they hung around with influenced them the most. And so here is something I believe that's true even now for those of us that are adults, for those of us who may be seniors. And the thing is this, that friends tend to make us or break us. Our friends tend to make us or break us. Think about that time when you started smoking. Think back of the time when you started drinking. Think back of the time when you started fornicating. That when you look back at the time, it always started out, there was this person in my fifth grade class. You know, there was these group of kids who I used to hang around in college. I mean, you know, you were sober until you and your roommates. There was just something about having friends that tend to make us or break us. And the opposite is true, right? You said, you know what? I was making D's. And then I started hanging around. I got into a study group. You know, I got myself around a mentor, that there were people in our lives who we drew close that we started to influence. And so our friends tend to make us or break us. And the thing about what I found to be true about in life is that social acceptance tends to trump wisdom. Social acceptance tends to trump wisdom. Whenever we have to make a decision whether something is the wisest thing to do or whether something is socially acceptable, most people would choose that which is most accepted. Because who wants to be the black sheep? I mean, who wants to be the butt of everybody's joke? Who wants to be the goody two-shoes? Who wants to be the person that never gets invited to the happy hour or who our coworkers don't talk to? And so the reality is, when it comes to acceptance and wisdom, most of the times, we will make the decision that brings us the most social acceptance. And so here's the reality. Your friends, my friends, determine our future. If you want to know what your future looks like, look at your friends. You want to know what your teenager, what your child, what your cousin's future would look like. You want to know what your nephew's future looks like, look at the friends that they hang around. And we don't outgrow it. We look like our friends. And if we don't look like our friends now, we will look at our friends in the future. And most of the times we have dreams, we have aspirations that are in total contrast with the people who we hung around with. And when you read Proverbs, the Bible will teach us that there are certain people that have a tendency of influencing. And why is that the case? Because God made you and I to be relational beings. And we are made in the image of a God who is also relational. We serve a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Within the Godhead, there's relationship. And God chose relationship to be that between Him, our Maker, and us, His creation. And God looked at Adam, who was alone, and God said that it is not good that the man shall be alone. So God made him a helper so that Adam wouldn't have to hang out and to do stuff by himself. God made us to be relational. And so because we're relational, people influence us. A fool says, nobody can influence me. And he says that while he's being influenced. A wise person realizes that people have a tendency of influencing us, and so a wise person makes sure that those who are closest to him are the individuals that have the tendency of influence him or her for the good. So here's our big idea today. The big idea is this, that it's important that you and I choose our friends wisely. It's important that you and I choose our friends wisely. This graph is going to show what I call the social circles. When we think about our friends, because we have a tendency of not really understanding what a true friend is, all right? According to Facebook, I have 1,600 friends, all right? But the reality is, how many of those people are really friends? I met a guy about 2 weeks ago for the first time, and then come to realize we were Facebook friends the whole time. We didn't even know. It's like, right? But I'm sort of making a joke about this, but sometimes we use the term friend loosely. So we say, oh, yeah, that's my friend. We go way back in the day. That's my boy. That's my homegirl, right? And the reality is we don't really take time to see, okay, is this person really my friend? And so the first circle is what I call the crowd. Somebody say crowd. You cannot choose who the crowd is. You cannot choose who your mailman is. You cannot determine who shows up at your doorstep to clean the air condition. You cannot choose who's going to serve you at McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken or wherever you are. Some people try to choose the crowd. You can't choose the crowd. You're going to be frustrated. You can't choose whether or not that person that gave you that customer service is going to pick up the phone next week, right? It's like we cannot choose the crowd, right? And so the crowd, these are people that are around us. It's our community of people that we don't know, right? And then there's part of the crowd who are our acquaintances. Somebody say acquaintances. These may be people that you know by name. These may be people that you don't know by name. These are individuals who you're friendly with. You talk, you know, you socialize. Some of us have acquaintances at the Bridge. So you see them on every Sunday morning. You may hug, you may dap, you may say hello, but you really don't know each other, all right? And then the next circle is what I call our friends. These are the people who we share life with. These are the individuals who we draw close. These are the individuals who you draw into your close space, all right? And so in other words, anybody can show up at your doorstep, but the person has to be invited in. A person becomes your friend because you did something intentionally to invite them in. And then within our friends, we have a smaller circle, what I call our closest friends. These are our bosom buddies. These are people who we hang around with. These are the people who you share your life with. You open your heart to. As a matter of fact, a person who you date, a person who you may be in a romantic relationship with, is in this circle. And so the closer a person gets to the core, the more wisdom you have to use in choosing them. You have to be extremely wise about who you let into your close heart, into the core of your heart. Because I'm telling you, who you invite in, who you date, who you let into your home, who you allow to hang around your kids will influence you the most. All right? So we're going to look at 8 things that I believe that helps to make a great friend. But before we do that, here's what the Bible says. Paul wrote this, and please don't miss this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33, he said, do not be deceived. In other words, he said, look, do not deceive yourself. Bad company corrupts good morals. If you're a good person and you get around bad company, eventually the company is going to corrupt your morals. And the book of Proverbs, I don't have time to go into this, but the book of Proverbs talk about different people who you don't want to be your company. These are individuals that you don't want to associate with because they have a tendency of rubbing off on you. So you can look at that on your own. Talks about gluttons and drunkards and prostitutes and angry people, hotheads, criminals, slanderers, gossips. And so you really want to be careful who you spend most of your time with, all right? But the Bible does talk about some good things in terms of some attributes that those who are closest to us should have. And these are also the attributes that we should have, because it's not always about having great friends, but it's also about being a great friend. You see, friendships can be one-sided. You can have great friends, and then you're never a great friend for anybody. It has to be two ways. So these attributes also relate to us as well, right? And so the first thing is you want a friend who is wise. Somebody say wise. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says this. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. All right? Quick Hebrew study. The term for walk is a word that's pronounced halak. Somebody say halak. Now you got to see, you got to sound like a real Israelite. Say halak. Halak. Halak means to walk. It means to associate with. This is your inner circle. This is what MySpace, you remember MySpace? This is what MySpace used to call your top friends. And so the Bible is saying you want to make sure that you're halaking with wise people. Because the way that you become wise is by doing life with people that are also wise. So you need to ensure that in your friend and your close friends that you have people that have some wisdom. You need some individuals that take scripture seriously. Because there's some commentators that believe that this term was used to admonish people to go to school. When you have wise friends, it's like being in wisdom school. When you get around them, you don't just shoot the breeze, but you talk about things that really matter. They can encourage you in the things of God. You can go to them with a problem and to actually get some wise answers. You need people in your circle that are wise. You need to associate with wise people. However, the Bible says that those who halak with fools will suffer harm. Notice the scripture doesn't say the person that does foolish things suffer harm. It says the person that does life with fools. And so in order to suffer harm, you don't have to do anything foolish. You just need to be in their company. How many people have ever gotten in trouble in school because you were hanging around the wrong crowd? It all started with being around them because fools will influence you to do foolish things. Your marriage was great until you started hanging around foolish wives and foolish husbands. And you started doing what they were doing. You started going where they were going. They started influencing you. You was listening to all that bad language. And so now your marriage is falling apart. Your relationship with your children is strained because you have foolish friends. You must halak with wise people. You must have people that are closest to you that can pour some wisdom into you. And remember, it's two-way too. And so you want to have people who you can share wisdom with and they appreciate it. It's nothing like having a close friend and every time you try to share something that's wise, they don't want to hear it. I mean, that's my boy, but he always gets on my nerve anytime I try to challenge him. You need to do life with wise people, all right? Somebody say wise. The second type of friend you need and the type of friend that you need to be is a person that's trustworthy. Proverbs 20 and verse 6 says this, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? The scripture is saying that a person that's truly trustworthy is hard to find. That's why it's difficult to find true friends. If you notice, the closer you get into close friends, the smaller the circle is. And that is because the reality is, first of all, you can only be a true friend to a few people. Whenever you have too many close friends, you stop dropping the ball. You don't have enough time to point to those friendships. And so sometimes, you know, we get discouraged because we have all these people around us and people are betraying us. They're talking about us. And there's only like two or three people that we can really, really trust. Remember, but that's how life is. It is difficult to find a person who is really trustworthy. But when you do, they're like a brother or a sister. And it says, but many people will proclaim their loyalty. You will have many people that will say, hey, you can trust me, man. Whenever you need somebody to talk, just know that call me any time of the day. I'm your brother. I'm your cousin, man. You know, we're family. We're here for each other. Just because somebody proclaims their own loyalty doesn't mean that they're loyal. A person's loyalty is proven by their actions. I don't have to trust you just because you want me to trust you. And as a matter of fact, you have to be careful too, because there are some people that will want to be close to you, but they're not concerned with your agenda. They're concerned about their own agenda. There are some people, oh my God, there are some people right now that want to be close to you because of who you know and who you work with. Because of who you know, all of a sudden they want to be your friend. You got to grab lunch. You're going to have Starbucks. But they didn't care about you before. You got to be careful. You choose who to be trustworthy. And I'm telling you, there will be people that will get offended, or you don't call anybody. You had a party. You didn't invite me. Well, I don't know you like that. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying to be a jerk about it. I mean, you don't tell a person this, but you have to choose who's going to be in your close friends. You have to choose who's going to be in your circle. And you need to use wisdom of who you invite. Don't let somebody proclaim their own loyalty, all right? So you need friends that are trustworthy. A person that's trustworthy is a person who you tell them to keep something confidential and they keep it confidential. A person that's trustworthy, you can trust them with your private affairs. Mm-hmm. This is a person who you can invite into your home, and they see how dirty it is, and they don't leave and start telling people, say, man, oh, you should get to their house. The dishes were all nasty. They have stuff all around the house. They're in church acting like they're all holy. Oh, my God, you should see their crib. That's not a trustworthy friend. A trustworthy friend keeps, as a matter of fact, a person is so trustworthy, right? When you're really close to the person, you don't have to tell them, let's keep this confidential. It's like automatic. I mean, a true friend doesn't say, well, you didn't tell me it was between us, so I didn't really know. So I shared it as a prayer request because I didn't really know it was like, do I need to tell you stuff about my marriage is confidential? Can't you tell by the tears and the suffering I've been through that it's a private affair? Proverbs 17:9 says, he who conceals a transgressions seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. A trustworthy friend covers your sins. A trustworthy friend don't get on the phone or get on Facebook and put you on blast. As a matter of fact, a trustworthy friend doesn't keep repeating and bringing stuff up. You've ever had a friend like that? You make a mistake and they keep reminding you of what you did and keep bringing it up as a joke. It's like, that was 8 years ago. Can you shut it down? You know, I'm not letting that one go. Because when a person repeats a manner, they separate intimate friends. You've ever had a person who was part of the crew, you know what I'm talking about? And they start spreading stuff about you, and it got between you and another person? That is not a trustworthy friend. If you're going to be in the core of my heart, you must be trustworthy. Somebody say trustworthy. Number three, a great friend is a generous friend. Proverbs 19, verse 4 says, wealth adds many friends, but the poor man is separated from his friend. Chapter 19, verse 6 says, many will seek the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. A generous friend is a person that gives gifts. Their time is a gift. Their heart is a gift. Their wisdom is a gift. If you want to be a true friend, you have to learn what it means to be generous. You can't allow every birthday, every wedding anniversary, every Christmas to come around, and you don't even buy a card. You don't even take time to say hello. A true friend is generous. And my wife is great at this. My wife is great at buying gifts for people and being generous. I mean, she's really generous. And it's not, yeah, go ahead, yeah, big her up, honor her, yeah. And she's challenged me in this area as well, too. And I'm not saying you got to go and buy people $500 gifts, but, I mean, you've known somebody for 10 years. I mean, you can't even buy a trinket, a gift card. Every time somebody needs something, I'm think kind of tight financially and, you know, my time, you know, it's just kind of tight. I have a lot of stuff going on. It's like there's always something. You can't be a great friend and never be generous. And so the more generous you are, the more people see that that you're really valuable to them. You cannot be a stingy friend. And you cannot have friends that are always stingy with their money and stingy with their time. And I'm not saying you have to go around act like you're balling and you have more money than you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, can you be generous? Your friend is going on a missions trip, and all of a sudden, you become ghosts. Get a support letter, and all of a sudden, can't find you. Like, come on, man. Can you give $10? $25? I mean, come on. Be a friend. Be generous. Remember that for Christmas. It's not just about getting. We say it all the time. It is better to give than receive. And we get mad when we get all this stuff. Well, come on. Be generous. A real friend is a generous friend. Number four, a great friend is always respectful. The Bible says, this is so interesting, really funny. Proverbs 25, verse 16 and 17 says, have you found honey? Eat only what you need, that you not have it in excess and vomit it. And so scripture is saying, if you find honey, don't eat too much of it, lest you get tired of it, right? And so it ties it into the next verse. So let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house, or he will become wary of you and hate you. Here's what the Bible is saying, right? It's okay to visit your neighbor once in a while, but you can't be over there all the time. You can't become a bugaboo. You ever know somebody like this? This is blowing up your cell phone, always leaving, you know, responding to every post. You almost feel like they're stalking you. Some of us are like this when it comes to dating. Because we're interested in the person, we leave them 15 messages per day saying, hey, did you get my message? I left it 15 minutes ago, didn't hear back from you, just calling to see how you're doing. And then what happens is the person gets tired of us. We get on their nerves before they even have a chance to know whether or not they like us. You must be careful about not becoming a pest. And what a true friend is respectful, they respect your boundaries. A true friend realizes that, you know what, it's okay if they don't have time for me at such amount of time because this is the time that she spends with her husband, so it's okay. That I don't have to blow up her phone, that just because she doesn't call me back the next day, that doesn't mean that the friendship is over. I don't have to be at their house 24/7 to feel accepted or for them to know that they accept me. And a true friend respects your boundaries. Whenever you lay out boundaries and the person doesn't respect it, there's something tricky about that relationship. Can I have my space? Is it okay if I breathe? Can I spend time with God before I spend time with you? Well, we're supposed to be friends. Come on. Can I get some respect? And you need friends that respect your space. You need friends that know what time they need to leave your house. If I have to wake up at 6 a.m., and you know this, and you're at my house, and I'm yawning all loud for you to get the message, and you insisting that you stay, it's like, I'm like, come on. Can you respect my boundaries? Can you respect my boundaries with my children? Are you a friend who's respectful? Does that make sense? All right. Number five, you want a friend who's reliable. Reliable. I'm telling you, all of this stuff is in the Bible. Oh, my gosh. You know, Proverbs 25, verse 9 says, like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in a time of trouble. If you ever wondered whether or not the Bible is applicable and relevant for today, there's nothing more relevant than this. Have you ever placed your confidence in a person that is not reliable? A friend is reliable. And I'm not saying that we don't drop the ball every once in a while, but I mean, you drop the ball all the time. Every time you say you're going to show up, you don't show up. Every time you say you're going to call, you never call. And here's what happens when we have unreliable friends. We place confidence in them, and when we really need somebody, they're not there. But the reality is, if you looked at their history, they already proved that they were not reliable. And placing your confidence in an unreliable person is like having a toothache when you're hungry. It's like having a foot injury when you need a run. It's troublesome and it hurts. And if a person is truly your friend, and if you're truly a person's friend, you'll be reliable. And some of us may need to have some hard conversations because you're going all out for other people, and that same person hasn't done anything for you. And so I'm not telling you, just because you're a believer, just because you're a Christian, that doesn't mean you have to be somebody's doormat. So you're going to take advantage of me because I'm a Christian? And we're paying you to do this? And so we don't want to say anything because, yeah, you know, that's my friend, and, you know, I don't want to come across as ungodly. And like, look, you say you're going to be here. Where were you at? You said you were coming over to double check, and you didn't show up. Got to be reliable. Got to be reliable, and you need reliable friends. You don't need friends who doesn't prioritize your friendship and prioritize you. Number six, you need a friend who's faithful. Proverbs 26, verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. A friend that is faithful is a friend that's not afraid to tell you the truth. A faithful friend has so much loving kindness towards you, so much hesed towards you. They're not afraid of telling you when you've messed up. They're not afraid of telling you the truth, even though it's hard to swallow, because a person truly loves you. A person who's truly a faithful friend would prefer to watch you end their friendship because they've told you the truth than to watch you walk in the pit. Many of us have lost friendships because the person loved us so much they were willing for you to cut them off and for your life to be saved than to watch you make a bad mistake. And for many people, sad to say, the friendship ended when they were told the truth. Watch this. A faithful friend cares more about your well-being than your acceptance. A phony friend cares more about your acceptance than your well-being. Phony friends tell you whatever you want to hear. And so when you come to them with a problem, there's listening to see, okay, what do they really want me to tell them? And then you tell them, maybe you shouldn't do it. What do you mean I shouldn't do it? Oh, yeah, well, my bad. Yeah, do it. That's not a faithful friend. Because they're more concerned with you being accepted by them or your acceptance. And then here's what happens. And then after we've made a mistake, then all of a sudden they said, to be honest, Like, I saw it coming, but I didn't really want to say anything. And so here's the thing. If you're my friend, you're going to watch me make a mistake and don't say anything about it? And then you come after I've made a mistake to say, oh, yeah, you know, I just felt something in my spirit. It's too late now. Let me tell you, a faithful friend will hurt you. A faithful friend will hurt your feelings. A faithful friend will get on your nerves. A faithful friend will make you upset. But that's what happens when wisdom is in contrast to our foolishness. So you don't cut a person off just because they get on your nerves. They could be getting on your nerve because they want to tell you the truth. And be very careful when the wisdom of our friend cuts off. And it's not that they don't want to tell you the truth, but you keep resisting it. And after a while, you can make somebody make wise choices. A faithful friend will tell you the truth. A faithful friend is not one of your fans. They don't care about your autograph. They don't care whether or not you follow them on Twitter. They're not part of your fan page. They're not concerned about your name. They're concerned about you. They're not concerned in the hype and who you are and who you know. They care enough about you. They don't care who you are. They love you enough and they will tell you the truth. We need friends like that. Not friends kissing up to us because of who we know and don't want to offend us and say, oh, you're such a nice person. And it's a unique friend to say, look, your stuff stinks. Yep. Number 7, unconditional. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. A true friend's love is unconditional. It loves at all times. Conditional love is based on condition. And so a person, when they love you conditionally, is based on what you do for them. It's based on the circumstance at the time. A friend who has conditional love is fickle. One time they love you, the next time they don't. One time they're in your corner, the other time they're not in your corner. You need close friends that love you unconditionally, regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you do in the future, regardless of the mistakes you've made. A friend loves not at some times, but at all times. You need an unconditional friend. And you also need a supportive friend. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You need people that will support you through the hard times. You need friends that will walk with you. There will be people that will walk with you during celebration, but they fall off whenever you go through a tragedy. Because here's the thing, whenever a person is going through, especially when it's one of those deep trials and it impacts your personality, it impacts your outlook of life, all of a sudden the friendship is not fun anymore. As a matter of fact, there may be times, seasons when a friendship becomes weighty because this person, they always need encouragement, they always need prayer, but the Bible says that a true brother is born for adversity. They realize that one of the purposes that God have born them into this life is for the trial that you're going through. And it's one thing to walk with a person for a short-term trial, but you know one of those trials that are lengthy? You know, those 5-year trials, 3 years, you know, extended divorce, that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, people start falling off. You need a friend that is supportive, and you also need to be a supportive friend. Don't take all the teddy bears and the flowers and the prayer requests, and then you don't offer any. You have to be a support. And you need friends in your life that will support you. But I must give out this warning. Never use tests or trials as a means of testing a person's friendship. Don't you ever do that. Here's what I mean by this. You know, sometimes we go through difficulty in life. And then what we use is we say, okay, well, since I'm going through difficulty, let me see who my true friends are. Now I'm in the hospital. Let me see who come visit me. I'm sick. Going to be released in 2 days. Whoever doesn't visit me in 2 days will be immediately demoted to acquaintance status. Don't you ever do that, because God will ensure that those people fail your test. Because here's the reality, right? People do not pass our test because we fall off, because we mess up. And God will ensure that we don't place anyone on the throne of our heart that he deserves. So you want friends to be supportive, but don't become prideful and arrogant and use your test. I've seen it happen too many times. I'm telling you, at a funeral, when they should be mourning, yeah, my real friends came out today. In the hospital, I'm telling you, yeah, I didn't see so-and-so. I guess you know who your real friends are, Pastor. Don't do that. Do not do that. Weep and recover. And be thankful for the friends that you have. Does that make sense? Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, a man of too many friends come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The term ruin means to be crushed. It means to be shattered. The more friends that we have, the greater the tendency of us being crushed and shattered in friendships. There will be people that will disappoint you. There will be people that will gossip about you. There will be friends that will betray you. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And some of us that have some life experience know this. There have been people that have come and go. A person who you thought was your boy wasn't your boy. That girl who you trusted in your life with, but there was always those two people that was with you the whole time, weren't they? There was always that one person that was steadfast. Many friends, plural, will crush your heart. But there's a friend, singular. Minority, there's a remnant that will stick close. And that's what you need. Close friends who you can depend on. And you want to be sure that you choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. So there are two questions we have to ask ourselves this week. First one is this. Who are some of the friends that I have that I need to move outward on the circle chart? Some of us have close friends. They're not wise. They're not supportive. Some of us have friends that are bad company. Some of us have friends that as soon as we get spiritually focused, we get around them and all hell breaks loose. There's some friends that need to be acquaintances. If there's a person that always comes over your house and they have drugs, negative influence, encouraging you to cheat on your husband, cheat on your girlfriend, you need to ask yourself, is this a wise friend? Is this the type of person that I want to do life with? And there may be some acquaintances that we may need to draw close and start building a friendship with. There may be some people who we know. There may be people in small groups. There may be people who we know through different circles. And they're wise. They're supportive. But because we've been hurt in the past, we haven't taken the chance to draw them close. And I'm not telling you make them a friend overnight, but you need to make space in your life for wise people. You need people in your life that is walking the same walk that you are. You need people in your life that worships the same God that you worship. You need some people in your life who you can share wisdom with and who can share wisdom with you, that when you get together with them, it's like attending wisdom school. And there may need to be some people in your life that needs to be pushed out into the crowd, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are some people, and you know how especially in dating relationships, you say, no, we're only friends. He's only in the inner circle of my heart. If there have been people that have been stealing from you, not respecting your boundaries, there are some people that are so dangerous, they don't even need to be an acquaintance. They need to be in the crowd. They can be an insurance salesman, but not mine. No, sir. Learn my lesson. There may be some friends that need to be acquaintances. Some of us may need to have some difficult conversations with some people. There may be a person in your life.
We thank you for joining us today and hope that God really spoke to your heart. If you would like to financially support the ministry of The Bridge, you can do so by clicking on the link that says Giving. Once again, we'd like to thank you for taking the time to partner with us in our mission, which is to love God, love others, and make a difference. We hope that you join us again next week. God bless.